Good evening. Man, what an encouraging day for the Christian at 48th and Central in Billings. I don't know, it's like the Spirit I know guides us, and if we're all being led by the Spirit, you shouldn't be surprised, but everything that has been brought out today has gelled with what I want to talk to you tonight, including the Lord's Supper meditation, so it's amazing. You can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll continue in that. I have way too many notes, and I'm getting up here a little late, so we're going to have a two-part message here, so good thing. Good stuff. We've been working through 1 Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians, we've made it all the way to chapter 4, and even I had the thought, how long are you going to work out of 1 Corinthians? So I think that it's important to continue in this. I've thought about it, thought about bringing maybe something different for a change, but you know, what Paul is bringing out here and what we've primarily been looking at a lot of different things that we've been bringing out of this book, but the one theme that continues through this book, and it's going to continue through Paul's teaching, is unity. And I just think it's really important for us to, we hammer that pretty good. It was even brought out this morning to a degree. Fellowship was also brought out. We'll be talking about a little bit about that in these verses as well. But I think it was an important topic for Paul to teach through, so we'll continue in that. We're going to read quite a bit of scripture here in chapter 4. We've already worked through the first 5 to 6 verses, I think. 5 verses. So we're going to read through verse 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards to be found trustworthy. I should know this by heart by now. But to me, it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself, for I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted. But the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against another. For who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? You are already filled. You have already become rich. You have become kings without us. And indeed, I wish that you had become kings so that we also might reign with you. For I think God has exhibited us apostles last of all as men condemned to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are prudent in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor. To this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty, and are poorly clothed, and are roughly treated, and are homeless. And we toil, working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become the scum of all the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we do praise your glorious name. And we know that all things, as was mentioned, all blessings come down from heaven, and we know that you cause all things for good for those who are called according to your purpose and to those who love you. And we do love you, God. We are appreciative for the work of service that we have been given as your priests in this age. I just pray, Father, that from these words tonight, we would be we would have better vision and focus on that purpose that you've given us, that as your priests, we would seek to glorify your name, and that we would shrink and that you would grow. And in all that we say and do, that we would be, speak bold your words of truth, and that may we may continue to be pillars and support of the truth. So we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so again, in the context that we've really been working through and that Paul's working on here with the church in Corinth is like, you guys have no unity, right? You have quarrels and divisions among you. And remember, we've worked through that ever since really chapter 1, and we'll continue to work on that. Paul is going to continue to go work through that. And so he says, I hear this, these quarrels among you, and in part I believe it. You know, there's problems. You lack unity. Some of you have been saying, I am of Paul, and I'm of Apollos. I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. I remember that because I had problems saying it the first few times. So, brethren, we recognize that it shouldn't be about anyone but Christ. And it's interesting, the song that we sing is that Christ is the foundation, right? That's out of 1 Corinthians. It's all about Christ. It's not about us, brethren. We need to shrink. He needs to grow. And so it's about Christ. It's not about me, 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 or I, right? In that idea. And so Paul, he's working on this, and he says, I've made myself and Apollos as examples for you so that you might learn. Okay, and we're going to see that over the as we progress in through the book. And so Paul and Apollos themselves, as we brought out previously, they don't have a problem, right? Paul and Apollos don't have a problem. These guys were working for the Lord. They had unity, okay? They were working for the Lord and prospering in their work, okay? And so it was the other people that was really making the issues that were coming up from in the church in Corinth. You know, it says, well, I'm with him. And so I'm with him. And, you know, there were divisions, Paul says. And so Paul's going through all of this, and he says, I've used Paulus and myself as figuratively as examples for you guys that you may learn from this. And so what the Lord actually is, what the Lord's working on, is particularly here in the congregation of Corinth through Paul, and is that these guys would be united. And so how is that going to happen, though? How is their unity going to come about? So we'll unpackage that tonight. And so he says, so there's divisions among you, right? And he's instructing them to have more unity. So we'll break that down. One thing that we need to, before we get into it though, brethren, is a word of caution. A word of caution, because typically in the religious realm, in man-made religion and organized religion, this is talked about a lot. You know, we just need to have unity. Can we just have unity? You know, we all believe in the same God, right? And the cautionary part of that, though, brethren, is that typically out there in religiosity, when that's mentioned, it's that, well, we need to be unified, and how we're going to do that is by compromising. Okay, we all believe in the same God, right? And that's dangerous, brethren, because typically when they say that we need to compromise, it's on compromising on the truth. And the problem that that brings is then that what happens, what's the end result of that is that, well, we're no longer on the highway of holiness. If we compromise on the truth, we're no longer followers of Christ, right? And it's been mentioned before, Mr. Toole has well brought it out, you cannot have unity outside of the truth. You cannot have fellowship outside of the truth. And the truth, it was brought out in the opening, what is truth? Well, it's whatever God tells us, because he's the creator, right? He is God. We are not. And so the only way to have unity in Christ then, brethren, is that we diminish and he increases, okay? We leave ourselves behind and we put on Christ Jesus, amen? It's about Christ. It's not about us. Okay? This is an odd thought in today's society. And it's completely contrary to the most people's God is what you can be God for yourself. Okay? I can't think of the word that I want for that. But so we must decrease, he must increase. So we do it the Lord's way, right? We don't do it our way. We don't compromise. We stand on what God has spoken, what God has written. And so the Apostle Paul says, we do this so that you will not exceed what is written, right? And so they then become arrogant in behalf of one another, right? You can turn to Philippians chapter 2. United. How are we going to be united even in Christ? Well, if we are all working toward the same goal, and we're gonna unpackage that a little bit as well, then we will find unity. But I like this, and I want to start here in Philippians chapter 2 because this is the perfect example of what Paul's working on. So this explains really well the perspective on unity. Okay, all sorts of little movements out there on unity in the church. Okay. You know, hey, if we have the same programs and we have the same classes that you can take, same fellowship, we work together in building community, you know, if we can just have that better fellowship, I think that we'll be on the right track. Okay. Here's the thing, brethren. If we're going to have unity, it's got to be, again, according to Christ, and that unity is going to come by doing what we're called to do. Simple as that. And so that's why you cannot have unity apart from Christ. You cannot have unity or fellowship apart from truth. Okay? It's we have unity by doing what we're supposed to do. Right? It's the family business. It's the goal that we've been given. And say, what I found, and it's scripturally true, and you see that. It's apparent in this congregation. Just by simply doing what we're doing, simply by doing what we're supposed to be doing, we have fellowship and unity. Okay? And we can be from just different parts of the spectrum in terms of society, but Christ brings us together in that purpose, right? Intent on one purpose. That's what I wanted to look at here in Philippians chapter 2. In verse 1, it says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete. How? By being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do nothing from selfishness. Okay? Intent on one purpose. When we're fighting in this spiritual war, brethren, and we're fighting next to a fellow soldier, shoulder to shoulder, I got his back. And I know he's got my back. Okay? Because we're following the same captain, Christ Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's not about you. It's about Jesus and his kingdom, okay? So when we have each other's back and we're fighting to accomplish that same goal, then we have unity. And it's a unity that cannot be broken, okay? I don't know, for me, when I experienced the most growth spiritually is when I fought for these words. I didn't even really know what I was saying fully. But when there was a coworker and we got into a discussion, I remember this specifically, and I stood up for what I knew was truth and what he was saying wasn't, man, that bolstered my faith. So when we're in the trenches and we're fighting next to each other and we're contending for that faith, that's the purpose that binds. Okay? And that's what brings unity. Ultimately, it's Christ that brings unity. Okay? Fellowship is great. Fellowship and friendship is a result of that unification, isn't it? It's not because of that. You know, the potluck meals are great, but that's not where our unity comes from, is it? Those team meals, it's talked a lot about in sports, those are important, but that's not where the unity comes from. The unity comes from playing on in your guts out next to your teammate, right? And so that fellowship comes from the unity in battle, really, fighting shoulder to shoulder. And so I like this verse in Philippians chapter 2. It gives us that great picture. We are intent on one purpose. Okay, that one purpose, that is to glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To glorify Him. Okay, and we glorify Him by bearing much fruit and so prove to be His disciples, right? That's what scriptures say. Bear fruit and prove to be His disciples. That's how we're going to glorify the Lord Jesus. Okay? So when that's our purpose and we are intent on that, completing that purpose, that in unity, okay, we do that by what? What was the commission we were given? To seek and save the lost, right? You think there's a reason that He gave us that commission? Right? We're fighting for the same purpose. We're evangelizing, right? We pray and fast for the lost. That's kind of odd. It would seem to, like, from people just look outside looking in, that's kind of weird. You starve yourself for people just to hear the gospel? Yeah. It's contrary to the world because the world's contrary to Christ. So yeah, it does seem weird, but we are made fools for Christ, right? Praying and fasting. You know, years ago when we implemented the praying and fasting as a group, we were unified in that purpose as well. Do you know what? The Lord's greatly blessed this congregation. When we gathered together for one Lord's Day a month and for 15 minutes prayed through our fasting together and telling God this is important to us, this congregation was blessed immensely. And so what does that do? One thing, it tells God we're serious about this. Because I don't know about you, but I wake up Lord's Day morning, immediately I wake up hungry. Right? If it's fasting day, even more so, it seems. Right? So all morning long, I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry. Okay, God knows that. Okay, He knows how much I want a breakfast burrito. But, no, Lord, this is important to me. This is important to me. And you know what? When I found out that people were praying for me, you know, like when Kevin, we worked together, and when I did finally show up to assembly, it was like, why is everyone staring at me? And so I talked to this one gal that I got to know pretty well. Her name is Angie. She said, you know how long we've been praying for you? About time you showed up. So prayer was brought out this morning, is powerful. If you're having problems, pray. Right? If you're having great success, pray. Right? If it's snowing out and you're sick of snow, pray. No. If you think spring is here and it's not, pray. No, but prayer is powerful. And it tells the Lord that this is important to us. Oh boy, I'm way off track. It also, what does it also do, brethren? It keeps our focus where it needs to be. Right? I'm telling you what, if I'm starving and my stomach's singing a song and I want a breakfast burrito, I remind myself, why am I doing this? Because I love souls. That's why we are in this family business, is it not? Yes? It's the family business, and we're intent on that one purpose. And so that's where our unity is going to come from. And so back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the lesson that Paul is bringing us through, he says, I don't want you to be arrogant, one in behalf of the other. Okay, arrogance is a problem. Arrogance is a big problem. Pride is one of the big three, right? Talked about in scriptures. It brings us through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, right? It says, and these things are passing away. Brethren, these things are passing away through our unity, through our purpose, through our devotion to Christ and to the lost. These things are passing away, it says. Okay? The word of the Lord endures forever, right? And so, there's one, in one sense, there is a situation where pride is okay, and that's pride for each other. I'm proud of my brethren. Some of the immersions that have been taking place, it's just this thing's blowing up, right? It's exciting. Every time it's like, and you look up, this has got to be it, because man, there's how many more can there be? Oh, it's great to see those new Christians come in, and it's great to see them grow and spiritually. You know, Braden, you encourage me, brother. Just your devotion to the assembly, you know, all of you encourage me on some level or another. The old Christians continually devoting themselves to the assembly of saints, to sacrificing their time to help others come up. Okay? New Christians that are coming up and they're excited for and on fire for Christ. After those immersions, to continue to teach them, right? To continue those studies. A great sacrifice, personal sacrifice. That's encouraging. And that's where I'm proud. I'm proud of old Christians and new alike. That's where I'm proud. And so there's that one instance there. I'm proud of the Lord's church, the work that we are doing and its eternal ramifications. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of our King Jesus. Man, just all that he has done and continues to do for his people. That he died, he was willing to die for us when we were how does it put it? We were yet sinners, yes, but we were hostile towards him. That's what I was wanting to say. We were hostile toward him in our rebellion, right? And yet he sacrificed himself for us. Okay? For the sake of time, we won't go into the other things. Well, we're already done. Okay. Well, the Apostle Paul, he was actually proud too, right? He was proud. He was proud of the Thessalonians, right? He wanted the Corinthians, he wanted them to be proud of him in his work. And so in the sense that we're proud of each other. And we see that in our devotion to one another, in our reverence to one another in Christ. Okay, again, it's about Christ. It's not about us. It's what Christ means to us. And so, you know, I'm proud of this congregation as well and the work that continues to go on and to the studies continue and they continue to grow. That's the unified on one purpose, intent on one purpose. Okay, so ultimately, as we are the bride of Christ, we understand the reason that anything is getting done is because of Christ. If anything is getting done, it's because of Christ. Earlier, we looked at Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God causes the growth. God gets all of the glory. It's about him. It's not about us. We are serving him. And so we proudly serve him ultimately in our pride for each other and our pride for the family business, right? Who's going to save souls if not us? It won't happen. This is the work that God has given us, so we can take pride in that work. And so this is a sharp contrast, though, brethren, to the individual and personal pride. Okay? There's no room for individual and personal pride in the Lord's church. Okay? And you know the verses, God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble. Okay, James 4 and 6. Pride goes before destruction, right? That just does not sound good. Okay, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Proverbs 16 and 18. Not good. Pride in the Lord's work, in the work that we are given from the Lord, there's no room for it. There's no room for selfish pride. And I'll admit, when I see an arrogant and selfish, proud person, I'm looking for that stumble that God talked about. I'm probably alone in that. But there are parts of me that end up cheering for the destruction. Like, I'm a sports guy, right? And you see, like, this guy make an incredible play, and you're like, whoa, how did he just do that? And then he's off peacocking all over the field. I hate that. And then pretty soon I'm cheering for him to fall on his face. Okay? Haughtiness comes before destruction. Well, we'll end there. I think that's probably a pretty good spot. But I like these scriptures going through these. It's a little more teachy than preachy, brethren, but I think it's valuable to work through these. Even for us old long-tooth Christians that have been around for a while, it's good to revisit these things, and it's good for new Christians as well to work through those. So let's have a closing word of prayer. Father God, we are grateful to you for the unity that we have in Christ. We thank you for Christ. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. While we were hostile toward him, he did not turn his back from us. And so we glorify his name. We say thank you, Christ, for doing what you have done and for sacrificing yourself, even though you who were without sin bore our sins on the cross. What love, what better example of love is there than that? So we thank you for Jesus. We will proclaim that sacrifice until the day he returns for us, when our faith becomes sight. And so we say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks, everyone.